The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 8. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon for today is based on the gospel reading from John 15. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. He is the source of life, we are the ones who live in him. This image takes us to wine country, to the rolling vineyards lush with grapevines, fruitful branches thick with grapes growing on old, gnarled vines with roots that reach deep into the ground. Jesus is that true vine, the vine planted by God, and his roots go deep down into Israelite soil and God's covenant promise to David, to Israel, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the place of our origin. The Father, Jesus says, is the vine dresser, the gardener. He's the guy with the dirt under his fingernails and the pruner's clippers on his belt. Watch the vine dresser in action. Watch how he cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit, while every branch that does, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. These aren't random hacking cuts he's making. These are selective, strategic cuts. He carefully distinguishes green wood from dead wood. And he has but one purpose: to make the branch even more fruitful. You know, look at an unpruned vine sometimes. One that hasn't been seen by the pruner for several years. On the surface, there's a lot of, you know, lush green growth sometimes, but deep inside, it's mostly dead wood. And there's very little fruit on such a tree, on such a vine. Fruit happens on the new growth, on buds that have been spurred into action by careful pruning. You know, you gardeners and people, you know this. And that's the first point of this analogy this morning. The Father prunes us for fruitfulness. Before we can understand this image fully, we need to understand precisely what the fruit is that Jesus is talking about. What is this fruit? In his letter to the Galatians, Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit at work in us through the Word is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. We've all heard of that. And remember, it's a singular fruit, not multiple fruits. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. It's all one thing. With one fruit with many different aspects to it. Being fruitful isn't about how much work you can do for Jesus or how many disciples you can notch for the kingdom. Jesus isn't giving his disciples a grocery list of things to do. He's telling them what flows from a heart that trusts him, that clings to his death for life, that believes his word. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit happens more or less automatically when the branch is healthy and properly pruned, right? You don't have to tell the branch to produce fruit. Otherwise, we'd all spend a lot of time in our gardens saying, hey, get growing, grow some more, grow, grow, you know, and it would be listening to us and it would produce more. But none of us does that. You don't have to tell the branch to produce fruit. I can't imagine a branch either agonizing over its fruit production. If the vine is alive and the life of the vine is flowing out to the branching, the fruit just happens. Now, if anything stops the flow of juices from the main vine to a branch, the branch will wither and die and become fruitless dead wood. Dead wood is what the Father's pruning clippers are after. The dead wood is our own sinful self, which gets in the way of Jesus working in us. And Paul calls these things the works of the flesh, as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. And he gives us some examples. Adultery, immoral living, idolatry, witchcraft or sorcery, fighting, arguing, jealousy, anger, selfishness, divisions, and the spirit of division, envy, drunkenness, carousing, that sort of thing. These are the things that Jesus died to take away from us so that they wouldn't be on us anymore. These are the things we died to in our baptism. This is what Jesus absorbed into his death and buried in his tomb. These are the dead works of unbelief, of the death of Adam at work in us and in the world around us. You know, as the Bible says, in Adam we all die. These things need to be cut away and burned up. And so the Father prunes away the dead wood, whatever gets in the way of Jesus' life flowing through us. Now, pruning can be painful. The branch suffers loss and injury. But that's where the growth comes that makes fruit. Why do bad things happen to good people, we ask? Why do bad things happen to me, to make it more personal? Why does God permit tragedy to occur? The answer from today's reading comes this way. He prunes every branch in Jesus that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he also prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're being pruned, not punished. Pruned by the master gardener to produce greater love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control than you could ever imagine. And that is the experience of many Christians. It isn't until they experience suffering and loss, until they've done some Job time, that they discover a depth of love, joy, peace that would have otherwise remained hidden. You've seen it in yourself, or maybe even experienced it for yourself. Someone who's basically a wallflower Christian, hardly even noticed that they're a Christian, barely recognizable, distracted maybe, suffers some loss. Loss of health or work or property. And there's great grief and sorrow. But instead of shaking your fist at God or cutting him off, you turn to him in your misery. You embrace the loss and accept it. You turn to the Word. You commune more intentionally. You gladly come to church to confess your sins and hear the word of absolution, the word of forgiveness. And you find that the most difficult and painful times in your life are also the most fruitful, spiritually speaking. Not that they always feel that way. There's room for the implanted word to grow and blossom, and you find a joy and a peace and a softening of the heart that you can have no other way except through having experienced the pruning shears of God, the suffering. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain joined to the vine. Apart from the vine, it will wither up, dry up, and die, be thrown into the fire. That's hell. You know, that's what Jesus is talking about. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. Nothing. That's the second point. This is not about you and me, but about Christ at work in you and you living in Christ. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing, spiritually speaking. And yet we try. You know, we ought to know better. We baptize believers in Jesus, yet we try to go it alone. I don't know whether it's our rugged individualism or our old Adam. I suspect it's some of both. You know, I got to do it myself. We try to have the Spirit's fruit without Jesus. The unbelieving world certainly does this. It has all sorts of programs and religions and that promise peace and joy and fulfillment, but can't deliver because it's all up to you in the end. The energy for change is all inside you, they say. You just have to tap into it. That's what's in most of the world's philosophies. But when you try to tap into it, you find the well to be dry. The truth is, there is no diet, no mantra, no exercise that will make you fruitful in the way that we're talking about here. There's no 12-step program to give you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things don't naturally flow from our hearts. What comes naturally to the old sinner in us are lies and theft and slander and gossip and immorality and murder and threats. Not the fruit of the Spirit, but the sin of Adam. Good fruit comes from Jesus. Out of his perfect sinless life, out of his innocent suffering and death, out of the open empty tomb of his resurrection, it comes from the life of Jesus flowing into each of you joined to Jesus. He is the vine, remember. We are the branches. We are not each vines unto ourselves. We can't live alone. We are branches joined to the vine, drawing our life from him, our strength, our fruitfulness. Grafted into him, hanging on to him by faith, we bear much fruit. Our lives are filled with love, with joy, with patience, with kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, whether we always see it or not. That's what Jesus does in us with his word. Remaining in him, we hear his word. We eat and drink his body and blood. We hear and cling to his word of forgiveness. What happens here in the congregation each Sunday morning, this is vine and branches stuff. Jesus, the vine, feeding and nourishing and refreshing the branches to be fruitful. When we cut ourselves off from the vine, when we refuse to hear or don't make the time to read his word, when we stay away from the sacrament of his body and blood, when we refuse the gifts that Christ sets before us, why are we then surprised when we feel dried up, withered, fruitless? Well, sometimes we barely notice it in our day-to-day habits. We just kind of slip away, lose touch. We're not at the Lord's table as often. We don't read the Bible as much. We go through the motions of religion, maybe, if that, but we're not hearing. And what happens? We dry up. Faith withers, like a branch cut off from its source of life. We live small, puny, troubled, discontented, empty lives, sometimes without even noticing it. Spiritual death creeps up on you. That's the danger of it. You don't even know it and you're dead. And it's also unnecessary. God has done everything. Embraced us in the death of his Son, baptized us, forgiven us, welcomed us to his table. He grafts us to the true vine and he prunes the unproductive branches. So don't blame God if you're all dried out and fruitless. It's not God's fault. It's our own fault. The vine is always there, giving us life. We're the ones who cut ourselves off and say no. But Jesus is always faithful, always forgiving, always urging and welcoming. Come to me, I am the vine, you are my branches. I will fill you with my life, my strength, my forgiveness. Apart from me, there's only death and destruction, and the hell of it is that it's all unnecessary. I died for you. I embrace you in my death. I remain in you. Now remain in me. That's where you're fruitful and alive, in me, not in yourselves, but in me. Jesus is saying that to each of us here this morning. Remain in me as I remain in you. By his word, Jesus remains in us. And by faith in that word, we remain in him. His word makes us clean, he said in our gospel today. His word makes us fruitful. His word shapes our words of prayer. Notice you go too long without hearing the word, you can't even pray anymore. Because he gives you the words. First we hear, then we speak. That's the order. The vine comes first, then the branches, never the other way around. Jesus says, if my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Now that doesn't give us a magic formula to get whatever we wish. Oh Lord, drop $1 million on me right now, and if he doesn't do it, oh, he didn't listen to me, I'm not going to trust in him anymore. He knows I would have probably done something bad with that money. This is no carte blanche guarantee for prayer. Instead, Jesus is saying that when his word has done its work in us, when it has gone into our hearts and struck our minds and hearts so that we trust him, his word will shape every word that comes out of our mouths. Jesus wants each of us, all of you, to be fruitful, to live large in his life, to live freely in his forgiveness. He desires that for each of you. It's to his Father's glory that you bear fruit, much fruit, that your lives be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and that you be his disciples, trusting him all the way, in life, in death. You are the branches. He is the vine. In him, you are fruitful. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.